All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 67 today. Kind of been missing out for the last couple of days. My bad about that. But as you guys probably already know by this point, Spencer Lee has declared himself out for this Olympic trials. Healthy, he's the favorite. Now, you know, I'll be honest, yeah. Probably wouldn't have gotten really anywhere in the Olympic trials with two torn ACLs. Just wasn't the best thing, you know, risk versus reward at that point. I know it sucks having to give up your dream of being an Olympian, Olympic champ, whatever it is at that point. But sometimes shit happens and you got to go along with it. So, yeah, this episode we're really going to talk about what does that mean for everybody else at 57 kilograms. Right, so obviously you have to think of a few guys who are already there, which, you know, off the top of my head, Nick Soriano, Vito Rujau, Thomas Gilman, Seth Gross, and Dayton Fix. Right, so
this opens things up for, yeah. Or at least, okay, so coming back, sorry, I got scrambled. So I want to immediately, like, throw away the notion that, like, because Spencer Lee is not a lock for the world team the same way that he was a lock for an NCAA title. So, like, anyone who's listening and they're going, oh, now 57 kilos is a free weight class, listen, a lot of these guys at 57, they are infinitely more elite at freestyle than they are at folk. And for that main reason, that's why I've always kind of picked Dayton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it really comes down to, like, Gilman's beaten Dayton Fix before, you know. Soriano's been a menace, you know, and he's – his first ever real career loss in a folk style match was to Thomas Gilman as a true freshman.
Yeah.
Undefeated all through high school, lost a 3-2 match as a freshman to Thomas Gilman. This is like way back when. You know, most people don't even remember Nick Soriano was at Penn State to start off. You know, this is back in the OG days, right?
Yeah.
Soriano, Dayton Fix went back and forth. Dayton Fix was competing at the senior level before any of them were, except for Gilman, obviously. Yeah. You know, Dayton Fix is a freestyle project. You know, just because he lost to RBY doesn't mean he can't win this. And, you know, going back to the Olympic, yeah. Two guys made it through the last chance qualifiers to make the Olympic trials. Sean Russell and Zane Richards, right? Darren Cruz and Jack Mueller were knocked off. So that's big right there, you know? Do I think any of them have a real run in them? No, but again, it's cool to qualify. That's kind of what most of these guys are looking for.
Yep.
You know, guys who are going about win it, we'll talk about the next episode. But right now, I think the favorite in the most fans' eyes are going to be Nick Soriano. For the sole fact that he's performed the highest at these tournaments, right? Logically, the best answer would be Dayton Fix.
Yeah.
And again,
I think Dayton Fix and Nick Soriano in – well, I mean, if you think about how closely contested it was in folk style, because we're talking about two guys who are both super high percentage. They're not really volume shooters. They're never really going to wrestle like an uber exciting match. That's just how it is with these guys. But in freestyle, it becomes really interesting because I feel like this skill gap becomes just a little bit wider just because, again, like you said, Dayton Fix is a freaking prodigy at freestyle.
Yeah. What, bro, Saran? Wait. Saran Francisco just sent me a video. Oh my god, dude, this is so unprofessional right now, but
what?
Saran Francisco just sent me a video of him body slamming the dude at the last chance qualifier, and he put, "I just caught a body, damn." Oh my god, I gotta post that, dude. That's hilarious. But yeah, so my bad. Going back to everything we were talking about. Does anybody have a bye to the finals? I think Gilman might have a bye with being a world finalist, right?
I believe so.
But again, gas tank's never been a problem for Gilman, so that doesn't really bring up any real benefits right there.
Yeah.
who do you see making it through? That's kind of, that's the real thing I really want to talk about.
At 57?
Yeah.
So, like, who my what my finals is?
And yeah, and, like, what are some big matchups or kind of toss-ups where guys get knocked off?
I haven't looked at brackets or anything, but I really like watching Vito Arrujo wrestle. If RBY goes, then I think it would be really interesting to see that rematch because I think the last time they wrestled, Vito teched him.
And that's also I would assume, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I would assume it's different now, which I think that makes things exciting because you get to see how Vito matches up with this national champ. Not that, you know, because again, I think Vito's going to wrestle 125, although then again, goddamn knows next year because fucking Ivy League set out. I mean, there's, you know, there's also talk of Yanni going 49.
And if that happens, I think Greg would fit in at 33.
Yeah.
That would just bring up a lot more confusion, right? And if we have to look at bracket busters, you know, one guy who has come to mind is Sean Garrett.
Yeah.
Like,
Nashawn Garrett, I will. Dude, I can see win Nashawn Garrett versus any of those guys. I don't think he beats a Dayton Fix or even really a Gilman, but I think they're great matches.
You have to think, like, what is going on?
People fighting again?
No, I'm just hearing cop cars. There's a thunderstorm. Like, too much. I don't even live in like a ghetto place. It's just like, wow. But yeah, no, even with that, like, Nashawn Garrett's the fastest guy at this weight class. That's just not really debatable at this point.
Yeah.
He's literally an RBY. You know, and more experienced at the senior level.
Yes.
If he catches fire, I don't think anybody in this weight class can beat him. But yeah, it's always a what if.
Yeah, in wrestling, it's always the what if. Like who has one really, really good day? Yeah. Like, you it's see it all like, the time. Like,
yeah. It's like, not like it's out of the question for him to win then.
Yeah.
It's like...
The only person who I'd say it's maybe out of the question would be like a Zach Sanders. I don't know.
Again, yeah, no, Zach Sanders, again, that's a guy who's been like... There's just a talent gap there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously there was against, like, you go back to NCAAs, you go Ryan Deke and Jesse Delavecchia. There was a talent gap there, right?
Yeah.
But it also wasn't that substantial. Mm-hmm. Zach Sanders is a guy who's been competing at this level. He just doesn't have the offensive arsenal or threats that Nashawn Garrett does. Nashawn Garrett, like, a blast double dude that is quick and presents a great blast double. He's always going to be a dark horse in any weight class if he's not already at the top. You know, obviously you can't say Jordan Burroughs because he's already at the top, right? But if you like Nate Jackson. Nate Jackson lands two of those on David Taylor. He could win the match. You know, chance of that happening? Yes. Probably. Actually, chance of that happening, it's not too impossible at this point. He held a 6-1 match with Jaden Cox and Kyle Snyder. Yeah. I think it's unanimous that those two guys would beat David Taylor at this point in their careers.
Yeah. You know,
again... Frame-wise, David Taylor doesn't have that big of an advantage against Nate Jackson. It's literally pretty much an identical frame. Nate Jackson may be a bit taller. Not
Jackson being a lot lankier, yeah.
Yeah, but again, back to 57. That's what we're supposed to be on. But, yeah. You know, even with that being said, like, again, I don't know if – I think Fix low-key may just dominate that bracket. Like, I really don't know.
He very well could.
Like, because he plays the – For being a guy who stalls a lot in folk style, he plays the mat very well.
It's not – I don't view it as stalling. I think it's just – it's picking your shots. And is it super exciting? No, but the reality is at that really high level, every single match is pretty much determined on like two or three scoring exchanges. Mm-hmm. If volume shooters were successful, Austin DeSanto would win 65 kilos.
Yeah. And again, there's always that point where it hurts you. You know, Mason Paris, Gable Steveson, it hurts him. Austin Santo, RBY, you know, RBY is a – he's a generational athlete at that size. He's not a generational talent by any means. You know, I think you throw it around a lot. It's like Say Gable Stevenson is a generational talent. Yeah, but like it's been proven over and over again. A better guy comes along every few years at that weight class. Mm-hmm. You know, Zach Ray, Tony Nelson, Nick Wazdowski, Kyle Snyder, then you have you improve even more. You get to Gable Stevenson. You know, you want to say it's never going to match him, but there's Jimmy Mullen at the high school level, who's only a sophomore, who just pinned the number one kid in the country.
Yeah.
Literally hit him with the Sajulayev. They hit on Kyle Snyder. And it's like, you think about like how greatly it's evolving. Like, you don't expect these athletes, once they get the technique down, which RBY has managed to do, he's improving at great rates. The last NCAA tournament, he lost to Ethan Lizak and Austin DeSanto. He almost got majored by Austin DeSanto.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't think he gets off from – I don't think anybody in the country can get out from bottom on Lizak without any trouble, but that's always just going to be a factor there. Lizak is probably better at getting riding time than anybody I've seen. Turning, maybe Spencer Lee. But again, Lizak, I think the amount of riding time that man has gathered up on high-level opponents is actually insane.
Yeah, in terms of like in terms of people who are really good on top, I mean, when it comes to mind, the first one that comes to mind for me is Zane Rutherford, but then you got Lizak. Because Lizak, not Lizak, Rutherford was good at getting riding time and turning people.
Rutherford was just overall just an over-aggressive person, right? But again, the difference between, I think, relatively, Lizak was better top wrestler than Spencer Lee. And I would say that because of this, right? Lizak's top wrestling was up here. His scrambling was down here. Then everything else was just at normal. Gas tank was a problem. But again, the guy who's cutting like 40 pounds a season, like it happens.
Yeah.
You saw it with Sebastian Rivera at the end of his season, you know, when he placed third. Yeah. Not a bad finish, but again, not where you should have been. Guy like Ethan Lizak, you know, Spencer Lee's neutral offense is up here. His top offense is like up here.
Yeah.
And then his bottom is up here. Like everything's at a high level. Ethan Lizak, you see so much of a disparity with his top wrestling and his scrambling with any part of his game. Like, if you took out neutral wrestling from this and had Ethan Lizak versus Spencer Lee, literally whoever got on top first could very well tech the match. Just tech the other person.
Good point.
Like that, it's a very weird way to look at it. It's like, people view Lee as like this invincible object. Even though it's been proven that he's beatable. You know, people say, "Oh, he's injured." He's been injured his entire career. That's not something you can really make the basis off of with that. And there's always going to be the question this year after what he did at the NCAA tournament: is if Fat Glory and Vitor Rizzo were in the field, would it have been the same result?
Mm,
that's always going to be a question because
I don't know. He's beaten both Glory and Rizzo pretty soundly.
He didn't beat Vito. He never wrestled Vito, but Glory turned him, you know. It also comes down to, like, if you look at it, right, Courtney pushed him. Vito and Glory are huge favorites over Courtney. Legs. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, Courtney even that him, being
said. But two shot legs. Yeah.
Exactly. That always brings up the question. If Vito and Glory were there that year, would Lee have still won? You know, obviously, I would still pick Spencer Lee in this situation because I just don't see anybody at 25, you know, except for Suriano, really being able to truly beat a healthy Spencer Lee.
Yeah. But
again, in 57, RBY. Where does he fall in this mess?
Him and Dayton Fix in the finals, maybe? I don't know, man. It's just...
I personally don't think he can get past Gilman.
RBY?
I think Gilman's going to be a hard matchup for him for the sole fact that he's like... He has the hand fighting of a DeSanto, but... They wrestle in the room, I'm pretty sure.
He's technical as hell. People forget that about Gilman. He's gotten more technical. He's got this great single leg, and normally that would be a problem against like a good scrambler like RBY. Mm-hmm. But Gilman is just really, really good at shutting down motion.
Yeah. Again, the problem with that I see is like Gilman's been a guy you can catch him in bad positions. You know, as we saw, Zach Sanders.
His biggest problem is that sometimes he'll stand and brawl, which you don't want to do against RBY.
You don't want to do against anybody at that level.
Yeah, no. I listened to a podcast he was on, and he was talking about, like, he has to talk to remind himself a lot of the time, move your hands and feet, because he has a tendency to just stand in one place and just bang on your head.
Yeah, no, I feel you. That's just like, RBY is so disciplined in these positions, which you don't expect, right? He's an athletic freak. He's conditioned. And his technique is just getting better and better. You know, like, if he goes 57, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just takes the whole thing. Like that literally would not shock me. Probably one of the – he's the most – top three most genetically gifted athletes in the NCAA this year.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Gable Steveson, that's just something else, being that big and being able to move that well.
Yeah.
Who
being able to jump that goddamn high.
Mm-hmm. And then who else would you put in there? Maybe like a David Call. Nah. Yeah, I would give that to him. And then I say a healthy Greg Kirkley. It's an athlete. I don't know how well of a wrestler at that level and yet, but
yeah.
You know, David Carr put up there.
Really, David Carr? He doesn't stand out to me as like a. He's got an he amazing.
He's so sound fast with his technique. Because you have to realize, for these guys, RBY was always a question of if he would get there. I know I say this so many times. David Carr was a question of, like, when he would get to that level. He was just young. Greg Kirkley, it's a question of when he's going to get to that level. We all know he's going to get there if he stays healthy. You know what I'm saying? Gable Steveson was a question of when he's going to get to that level. The problem with him is, like, he was such a revolutionary guy, everybody thought he was already there.
Yeah.
And that just fucked with him more mentally when he lost Anthony Cassar. But yeah,
some days I just wonder if one day Gable was like, I bet I could do a backflip, just fucking sent it, and then he did.
Dude, that's actually a crazy thing about, but yeah, so as we start to wrap this up, all right, let's get into our picks and the why. So you can go first.
Fix, he is so fucking good at freestyle, dude. It's not even, I just don't see the match with RBY going the same. Because I think Dayton, I don't want to say Dayton chokes in the finals, but I think, because again, I say he picks his shots. I think sometimes he tries too hard to be 100% on scoring. Because, like, you see that against – he'll open up against, like, really low-level guys. Like, matches where, like, he majors and, like, text people. Mm-hmm. Like, he opens the hell up, and you see, like, this dude can – this he can score. It's just that against really high-level guys, he picks his shots because he knows that one or two scoring exchanges, like, he's not going to blow anyone out of the water and be on, like, any major highlights anytime soon. I mean, if you look up Dayton Fix highlights, it's mostly, like, inside trips. Like feet to back.
And that also has to do with this disparity of competition this year. You know, it was essentially Fix, RBY, and DeSanto than everybody else. Which just let him open up more against a lot of lower level guys. So he really did, who were in real competition just at that point in time. You know, 133
does
was
open
a lot
up
deeper. Yeah, 100%.
Also, his gut. So we talk about. Like, parterre matters. Like, in American wrestling, we don't focus very much. I mean, I feel like it's safe to say in freestyle, we're pretty much exclusively a takedown country. But, like, Dayton Fix's trap arm gut is legitimate, and it can turn matches around for him.
Yeah.
So, it's the combination of, you know, how many more points his inside trip is worth, the fact that he opens up more in freestyle. I think he beats RBY if he meets him in the finals. Against Gilman, who knows, because they've traded matches.
Yeah, I think Fix is at a point where this may be the best form he's going to get in versus Gilman, right?
Yeah.
People forget that he beat him 9-1 in that first match, I think it was. It wasn't close. You know, second match is kind of as a Penn State fan too, Gilman kind of threw that match away. In the last couple seconds, but I will agree with you on this. I do think Dayton Fix, this is his time, you know, fell in the NCAA finals twice in overtime to very good opponents. You know, it's not like there were nobodies. No.
And it sucks to, like, it sucks to pick favorites all the time. It's just that the guy who's, like, expected to win, because I feel like Dayton Fix would be the favorite, at least in the logical fan's mind.
Yeah.
If you immediately go, oh, RBY beats everybody. RBY is not there yet in freestyle, or at least in my mind.
I will have to say, though, if anybody except for Dayton Fix wins, I think it's going to be Nick Siriano. I'll say if Nick Siriano meets Dayton Fix, Nick Siriano wins that match. If Dayton Fix doesn't have to wrestle Nick Siriano into the path, he wins. I think there's a bunch of other opportunities for guys that have presented problems for Nick Siriano in the past against Seth Gross, Sean Garrett, Vito, and Gilman. But if Siriano is the same Siriano we saw at the 2019 NCAAs, that's going to be a nightmare for anybody to wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so we got our picks. I think it's gonna be it for this episode. So thank you guys for watching. This has been episode 67 of Late Night Shots, and we will see you guys again next time.
All right, peace.